Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 40 of Screen Champs. I'm your host, Dubs, here with my co-host, the Madman Moan.
What's going on, brother?
What's happening, man? Today's episode, we're going to talk about Jeopardy again, for some reason. We're going to do a quick talk about CinemaCon, nothing too crazy. And we're going to recap the Spider-Man 3 trailer. Of course, we're going to give you a review as well. We're going to end the episode with a review of Candyman. So yeah, Jeopardy again, Madman. Somehow, some way, we're here talking about Jeopardy again.
This is the biggest story that I feel like came out of nowhere. And more stories are coming out, and it's amazing. It's honestly awesome just to watch it all fold out.
Like, well,
it's out of control.
I mean, people frequently call things a slippery slope. People are sliding down the slope right now. That's what's going on. The Jeopardy wheel is turning, and you know, it's funny. One of our listeners has sent me these Jeopardy news articles as they come
out.
Like, they're still not popping up like in my feed anywhere. I feel like I don't even see this stuff. But yeah, one of our listeners has a connection.
We got an insider.
And I'm like, I just kind of did a small deep dive, and I'm so immersed in it. And this is what's so cool about websites like Reddit and stuff, because everything has its own like ecosystem, right? Every little thing has its own world. Because most people have no idea what's going on with Jeopardy, nor do they care.
Yeah.
Right? But there's like this ecosystem where people care a lot what's going on, and they're engaged, and they are trying to ruin whoever's next up, apparently. But here's some of the stuff. So the first thing is Ken Jennings. This guy was a fan favorite. He had a 74-show win streak, which is like a record. He was frequently seen as kind of the front runner to take over Jeopardy. This is before all the drama. Everyone kind of assumed he'd guest hosted before. Everyone thought he was the guy. And then all of a sudden, some tweets in 2014, tale as old as time. And the main one that he got in trouble for is right here. Nothing sadder than a hot person in a wheelchair.
Jeez.
And that's it. 2014, Ken Jennings. That's the truth that was on his heart. I don't know what he saw. I'm assuming someone very attractive who was in a wheelchair, and it made him sad, and he shared it with the world. Yeah, delete. I just looked everything. It
up. He has a wife, two kids. Like, what's going on here?
Yikes! Yikes!
Married in 2000.
He was married in 2000.
The year 2000, I think. He was married at 27 years old.
Dang,
this is great. Mindy Bohm, two kids, but somehow 14 years later, he was like, "Bro, she's in a wheelchair. Kind of sucks."
That's all bad.
That's so weird.
It is weird.
He tweeted that?
Or? He tweeted that. Well, yeah, he tweeted in 2014. It was a different time, man. It was a different time. Back then, you could be insensitive. No, well, it's just, I mean, you couldn't, right? But it's just, it's. I don't know. It's just crazy. And it's also crazier that he was married. Like, what do you think?
He won a shit ton of money on Jeopardy, too. It's crazy.
How much money did he win on Jeopardy?
I'm just looking at millions. Like, there's just like 4,522,700. I think I said it correctly. Incorrectly. Or yeah. Correctly. The point is he has 1 million.
Okay, so 4 million plus. Actually, for a 74-show win streak, that actually seems kind of low. I was expecting
$4 million? All you're doing is answering questions? Fuck yeah, dude. Give me that.
Oh no, I'm not.
Give me five questions right now. If I answer them, give me $100.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do it. Like, sure. If someone was like, hey, you win Jeopardy 74 times in a row. Also, you're smart as shit, so you're able to. We'll give you $4 million. I mean, I'd sign that contract every time. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying I'm surprised it's not more. I was thinking I was going to hear 10, 11, 12 million.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, it's not enough to not be a bad person.
And this guy, all he had to do was just send one weird tweet. Was it just one? Is the one that got him?
So I think, okay, so this is a side note. This is the only one that I could afford to read. There was a whole Wall Street Journal article, but I do not have access to the Wall Street Journal because it's $4 a month. And so I can only read so much. So this is the only one I could afford to read. Apparently, there's more problematic tweets. Of course, he apologized for them, just like everyone does. And but that's the weird thing about the internet, right? Because you know, people want you to grow. That is something that people say, like, hey, we want growth. We want change. You know, want you to listen, apply to your life, whatever. But then when people say they have, everyone's like, nah, no, 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 no. We got you, motherfucker. We got you. We know how you felt in 2014. And some people's transgressions are worse than others. I would argue this is one of the lesser ones. And so I'm just not sure at what point, I don't know, what point it's like, all right, you're out of the hot water. So he's gone. But they never brought him up because of these tweets. I guess it was like, look, we thought you'd be good. Someone looked at your tweets. It's not going to be good. Then we have Mike Richards. They took him out real quick after his tweets. Oh, yeah. He quit. Yeah. Now they got Mayim Bialik, who is Amy on The Big Bang Theory, the love interest to Sheldon Cooper.
Really?
And now she's in hot water. Now, I don't think they're going to pull her from the show because her hot water is like not misinterpreted, but it's just like in 2012, she's like an original anti-vaxxer, even though she's gone on record saying I'm not an anti-vaxxer. But in 2012, she was like, look, we're not going to vaccinate our kids. And then in like a later article, she says, oh, but they're vaccinated. And she's like, we're not against vaccines. We're just not for them either. I think the most damning thing is that during the whole Harvey Weinstein thing that was going on, she wrote an article essentially saying, I've been able to maneuver Hollywood without having these issues because I dress modestly and I don't act flirtatious around men. Mm-hmm. So kind of saying, like, what were you wearing? What did you say? Instead of just damning the attacker, which is obviously, like, one person's in the wrong, and it's the person who's sexually assaulting someone. The victim is not at fault just because of what they're wearing. But she was insinuating, the tale is old as time. Again, these are just, I don't know, I feel like things that have just are so outdated, it's crazy that anyone would say them. But she's like, oh, well, I haven't dealt with any of those issues. Look how modest I am.
She's out of control.
Well, she's a little more in control. I will say this for her, is that none of these things are tweets. You know, these are just things she said. People just, like, just hate her for her opinions.
Correct.
And I just think it's such an important distinction because, yeah, she said some things that are controversial. And she's also against, like, the pill, like, for women. And she, mm-hmm. you know, has argued that it does a bunch of things. And then a lot of women's advocacy groups are saying her rhetoric is harmful. And she's saying, well, the pill is harmful. I don't know anything about the pill. But those are just things that she said that have upset people. However, it wasn't just like a, ha-ha, look at this funny tweet I got. Ha-ha, someone's in a wheelchair. Dang, they're so hot. Ha, damn. Too bad. What? Like, I don't even understand.
I had no idea she had any of this going on. And I had no idea how hard it was just to fill in a host job. Like, this is so difficult.
Yeah. Well, it is now. See, but here's the thing. Alex Trebek, he started that. How long was he the host there? For 20-something years?
I want to say, yeah. I'll say like 20-something years.
Alex Trebek hosted for 37 years.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right?
So that's before the internet existed. So all his wheelchair comments, he just said them to someone, and that's it.
That's crazy.
So no one knows. But I'm sure there's, like I said, there's ecosystems everywhere. There's got to be a little ecosystem of people who are like Alex Trebek, like anti-Alex Trebek truthers. Very few people are unimpeachable in this world, especially people that are searching for like clout, you know, people that want the attention, because when you want attention, you start emulating other means of like getting it, right? So someone might say, oh, I want to be funny. I think I'm funny. I got to push the envelope a little bit to get a reaction. And then it's like, oh, well, you made a mistake. Alex Trebek, he's just living life. There's no internet to be dumb on. And so who knows? Who knows what Alex Trebek did in his life, though? We don't know. If anything, it could be worse. Probably
if
was.
You know, yeah, if you know, let us know. You know, like the people that are sending us articles on Jeopardy, like, let's dive deep a little bit on Alex Trebek and see what skeletons he has in his closet so we could just, you know, validate that I'm like the best host available for Jeopardy.
Interesting. I do want to say again, rest in peace, Alex Trebek. We just want to know. We just want to know the truth, right? So let's get the
truth out there. I'm down for a job. Yeah. Any way I could help out. Myself.
All right. Do you think you will be the next host of Jeopardy? Is that kind of what you're lobbying for right now? Is that what you're positioning for?
It's just, you know, it's not even that I'm lobbying. I just feel like it's being painted that way. Like, it seems like someone's fighting for me. Someone's making sure that, you know, they're trying to find the best suited person available and everyone can get it.
The next host of Jeopardy better not have a Twitter. And if you do, that's on you. Like, it's on you.
Well, for my dumb brain, I'm like, oh, I'll just find, like, David Spade, find, like, Mario Lopez, like, just find, like, whoever. Like, just find, like, at this point, Just get your guy. Like, just figure it out. Just figure it out.
All right. Next we got here. So CinemaCon happened. This is the premier like movie event that happens in Vegas every year. They did push it back a couple of months. There was some drama surrounding it. I think Disney decided not to send any execs because of the Delta variant. There was people saying it's irresponsible to have it. I think CinemaCon was kind of like, and it's just a convention of people. They were kind of like, well, if we cancel CinemaCon, it's like we're not supporting movies. And since we want movie theaters to be open, we kind of have to just suck it up and just do it. So they did it. And this is one of those events that I hate because I'm not there. If I was there, I would love it. It would be the greatest thing in the world. But all I'm seeing is all this news about cool stuff that's going on. Like, for instance, they dropped a trailer for the new Matrix movie. And it's like, that's very exciting. And so I'm seeing all this stuff, like Matrix trailer. And I'm like, hell yeah, let's see the new Matrix trailer. And I open up the article, and it's just words. It's just describing what happens because it was only for CinemaCon. And it wasn't released yet. And so it's just a bunch of stuff like that. But Madman, did you see anything from the CinemaCon news that you want to talk about other than just the crazy teases we get?
Yeah, well, definitely Tom Cruise, right? Top Gun. I feel like out of all the movies that are coming out, Top Gun has been a movie that I've been excited about. Top Gun Maverick. Okay. I think that's the title of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a like new iteration of it. It has Miles Teller on it. Miles Teller's my boy, bro. I freaking love him. And Top Gun, I don't know if you ever saw that film. It's just a fun film, man. It's a great like 80s film. It's like dope, dude. There's an incredible scene where they're playing volleyball, and it sounds a little weird that I'm saying it because they're all like shirtless, and there's a cool music playing in the background. But it's like the most 80s thing I ever felt.
Yeah,
and so whenever I play beach volleyball with my friends and it doesn't go out that way, I get a little upset.
It's a wildly erotic scene with a lot of men playing volleyball. It's odd that that's the first scene you brought up, but that's on
you.
It's
a great soundtrack. It's just a great song that's playing.
Yeah, that's a good soundtrack.
I just, anything in my life that I do, if I'm shirtless with a cool soundtrack playing, it's just immediately like 100 times better.
Nice. I can see that. So,
but Tom Cruise was like, man, it'd be dope if Val Kilmer would be in the movie again. Like, I fucking love Val Kilmer. He should be. And so I think I remembered that he's not, and that kind of sucks. But I was excited just to know more about Top Gun Maverick because as COVID and things that are happening, things got pushed back. So it's just cool knowing that things are expected to come out and things are being talked about on, you know, stuff that I like Top Gun Maverick.
I can tell you great news live on the pod here. Val Kilmer is going to be in the next Top Gun. So
let's fucking go.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's good. Good news. Tom Cruise was adamant that he would be a part of it. So they got him on.
Whatever he says kind of goes, right? Like whatever Tom Cruise, like,
oh, yeah.
Man, he's the man. He'll show up on set. He'll get you to get a vaccine. You know, like I just think we need like college tours or high school tours. Just Tom Cruise coming in everywhere, just getting people.
It'd be wonderful. You'd save us all. But yeah, for the most part, nothing too exciting. You know, the Matrix thing was cool, or just the thought of it. They did show the Spider-Man trailer, which then they put online and we're going to talk about in a second. They actually screened Clifford, fun fact.
I saw that. Yeah, I just read that.
and again, we were talking about it, and I was telling you they're very excited about this movie. And you're like, what the hell are they talking about? Like, they're crazy. I read more that just Paramount is just balls to the wall stoked about this fucking movie. They think it's going to be so great. They're saying it's trending in, like, the 90s, whatever that means. What? And that test audiences are just loving it, and that people love it. And they showed it just to, like, prove how great it is. So they're just all about it. Clifford, the hype train on Clifford is happening. So you can hop on or just watch it go by, bro. But it's here.
It's unreal. I don't believe that for anything. That makes no sense. But maybe it does. I have no idea. What's like the last movie like this that has been a huge success? I don't know. It's hard, bro. Like the last thing, what I remember I was talking about, I said Garfield. Maybe Sonic, right? Like, but yeah, even Sonic.
Dan, Detective Pikachu did well. You're talking about just like a live action mixed with like animation?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's where I'm going at, right? Live action mixed with animation. I guess Detective Pikachu works. But Clifford, and I fucking love Clifford, but
Is that you fucking love Clifford, dude?
As a child, it's okay, cool. Sure, it's also sure. A different yeah. show. Now it kind of makes no sense. Again, I have no idea who's even acting in here. Like, I think they're trying to fool us here. I mean, in all seriousness, I hope it's good, right? People will come to the theaters and, you know, it's going to be a hit for them. Is Paramount, right?
Yeah, Paramount. Well, Paw Patrol did well, so you never know.
I mean, at the end of the day, right? Kids will watch anything.
Yeah, it's fucking idiots, dude. They don't know. They're so dumb, dude. They're so stupid. They'll watch anything.
Well, I'm curious to see if, like, how much they believe in Paw Patrol, because if they did a lot, then maybe I should watch Paw Patrol.
I don't know if they have that same belief level. Like, Clifford, they're like, we got to take this off the slate. They're not putting it out because it's not the right time. Man, I can't get over this Clifford.
Do you
stuff.
Seriously, like, man, I don't seriously believe it. Like, I just think it's crazy.
I mean, you better believe it, brother. It's happening. That's what they're doing. Like, they did it. Dude. They did it. I don't know. It's crazy.
You're like an asshole, man. Sorry for the listeners that really believe in Clifford. I really do not understand how they really believe in Clifford. Like, this is what's going to make them.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So, off of CinemaCon, that was the worst CinemaCon recap ever, but the point was not to recap CinemaCon. It was more just to say out loud that we really want to go. So if anyone can help us go next year,
Ghostbusters that's really what was we screened. Want to do. Ghostbusters was screened.
Yeah, there you go.
So, Sony surprises at CinemaCon. So that's some news.
There you go. Well, that's, I mean, again,
wanted to know what happened.
Not really news. It's just like, oh, sweet. Someone got to watch Ghostbusters. That wasn't us. Awesome. Thanks for the article, guys. They're not even allowed to review it. So not only do we not get to get, like, impressions of it, it's just literally nothing. It's like, na 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 na, they watched the movie. I'm like, oh, cool, thanks, guys. That's how I feel about it. I'm so bitter, dude. I just want to go to CinemaCon. Plus, it's in Vegas, you know, rock on, right?
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. Let's do a GoFundMe. Send us to, by next year, Screen Champs, we'll go to CinemaCon.
I like that. Just say it with some confidence. I like that. Oh, yeah. Yes, we will. So all right.
Next year, I'm going to get abs.
This is a manifest. Well, bro, come on. We can really go to CinemaCon, you know?
I'm down. That's easier.
Yeah. You just gotta choose to pay for it. Like, all right, we did it. Okay.
Yeah, or just give me money. All you got to do is give me $100 for 8 months, and that's it.
Ooh, I like that. Let's see here. So we got, all right. So the next thing, this is just one of those things where I like read the most depressing, like, well, I'm not saying most depressing because that wasn't it, but I read the worst article title of all time. And then very soon after I saw like the best article title of all time. So the worst article title was Marlon Wayans is going to star in a new Halloween comedy. And I was like, bro, you know what? That's a hard pass. Now there's a couple ways I could get excited about something like this. If it's saying, oh, the Wayans brothers are making a new, like, scary movie together, an R-rated one, cool. Yeah. I could be on board for that. But Marlon Wayans did his Haunted House movies, and they were not dope. So read that, and I was like, ugh. Now, this looks like a scripted comedy. Well, I mean, everything was scripted, but just a more, like, straightforward comedy where his daughter unleashes, like, some ghost, and they have to try and stop it. Also a Netflix original, so yikes.
So not like a spoof is what you're saying. It's like an original.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much for it. It was more just like, you know, what a way to ruin someone's day, right? Just to read that and like, ugh.
Yeah, my mom read that in Spanish. I was like, not again. Like, last movie I saw with that guy, there was a ghost that was fucking someone. And I was with my son, so.
Not
do that. It sucks too, like the way you say it too, like, because if it was the Wayans Bros,
oh yeah,
I would be a little bit more excited about it. I don't know what's going on with Sean Wayans, like with Sean Wayans. I haven't seen Sean Wayans, but Marlon needs some help, dude. I feel like his biggest success was being with people, and making them funny and then being funnier, right? Like being part of that cast.
Again, being like a side member, not the guy.
Yeah.
Like he's just a great side character.
If Netflix is trying to make this happen, right? As to do with it, they're fucking making movies. Like you just, we could go inside Netflix Terrible movies right now and make a film. Like they're ready.
Ooh, okay.
We can. I mean, they're making fucking everything, dude.
Yeah.
I think they're just trying to relive some nostalgia. They're like, let's get Marlon Wayans. Scary stuff. We'll make a comedy film. And that's all we need to do for our formula. People are going to watch it.
Yeah. I'd rather see a Hubie Halloween too.
Yeah, me too. Loki. It'd be great.
I think they're making it.
They should. I hope he throws up again. Marlon Wayans, I fucking love you, bro, but I haven't for a long time. So I'm sorry, bro. Get your brother involved and maybe the first writer from Scary Movie and you guys can make some shit happen.
Yeah, there we go. And I'll be all on board for that. But that was one article I read. Then the next article I see, Ana de Armas's Marilyn Monroe movie Blonde is being delayed because it has too much sexual content. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Amen, brother. We're here. We did it. We made it to the promised land.
The most Ana de Armas thing I ever heard.
I was like, I mean, it's just. What? Yeah, we did it. We're here.
She's sexy. Plot twist. She's too sexy.
Too much.
They're like, yeah, we can't release this shit. Are you kidding me? She's too hot.
Yeah, it's too much. And I, you know, it's one of those things where it's just like, she's kind of that person, and she's blown up since Knives Out, like in a real way.
Fuck yeah.
If it weren't for the pandemic, there's already like 14 movies that she would have been in by now that are released in theaters, 100%. But they're all going to be out soon. However, so the title of the article, I was like, hell yeah. Like, let's go. I'm on board for this. Like, release it now, you know? But then I was like, release the Snyder Cut. Like, let's, you know, we're going to start this. We need our...
Who's the director in this movie?
So the director is a gentleman named Andrew Dominik. So we need the Dominic cut ASAP. Bro,
I need the Dominic cut quick.
I respect his vision.
Yeah.
I like who he is as a person. I don't know who he is, but he seems like a smart guy who knows what he wants. And we gotta stop messing with directors' visions.
Yeah, it seems like he killed it with the casting. It was like, yeah, she's the one I need for this film.
Yep.
We're going to make a dope-ass film.
Amen.
They're like, it's too hot. They're like, well, that's the point. Yeah. That's what got her.
There's literally show too hot to handle. We like
these things. That's
Gracie. Yep. But here's the thing. So I started reading the article, right? And it was kind of dark. It got a little dark, you know? So I wanted to start off this way because I wanted you to feel how I felt when I first read it. It was exciting.
Like the content was too dark?
Well, yeah. So this is the article here.
Oh, God.
An industry source since has claimed the film was delayed because of sexually graphic content that is said to be featured in the movie. Mm-hmm. It is claimed Netflix executives were horrified by the final cut of the film and were caught off guard by the film Dominic had made. The industry source cited claimed Blonde is a sexually graphic NC-17 depiction of Monroe. Netflix was absolutely horrified by the cut Dominic submitted to them, which included a rape scene and bloody menstrual cunnilingus, which was just troubling to read. And that's one of those things where I feel like that's like the nice way to say it. But I feel like if I used slang to say it, it would have been a lot, like it wouldn't have stung as much. Like, that's not cool. So that's, my excitement level dropped a little bit when I read that line. I was like, okay, well, maybe this isn't like as like the, this wasn't the content I was hoping for.
I don't know if I'm too excited to see that. You know?
Yeah. That doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah. And she is someone I care about. So I don't want to see any of that. You know, I don't know if that has a lasting effect on you, but when you find like an actress or an actor that you like and you enjoy watching on film and you see them get fucking brutally murdered or some crazy shit happen to them, like that shit kind of stays with you. Like in my head, I still get Pete Davidson's head getting blown off in Suicide Squad. And I can talk about it now because the movie came out, but that shit happened very quick. And I know when it happened, my mom was like, oh my God, like, isn't he funny? I'm like, yeah, he's fucking dead now, though. So I got to deal with that shit. You know, I got to look for any fucking interview that he's in just so I know he's okay.
That's deep, man. That's kind of, that's a lot, bro. That's heavy.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah. Well, Netflix has had a bunch of sexually explicit content on their streaming service. I mean, the one I remember for sure was like Nymphomaniac, with Shia LaBeouf because it had Shia. And so I'm like, my guy. And then like you watch the movie. Yeah, not only is he everyone's naked. They're just and it was like a two-part movie. It was like 4 hours long. Everyone's just fucking. I was like, what is going on? And so it's kind of weird.
And I feel like Netflix has like documentaries about like porn, right?
Yeah, they might. I wouldn't know.
Some shit like that.
But if you've seen them.
I went to an uncle's house.
I'm just kidding.
And his Netflix like For You page was like dark. And I'm like, bro, how did it get this dark? Like, where did you find this from?
You know what's funny? Dude? That just reminded me of, because you said uncle in this part. One time, this is about maybe 10th or 11th grade, maybe in that. Like, it's definitely high school for sure.
Yeah.
At my uncle's house, watching the Super Bowl, right? Having a good old time.
Okay.
At
Do you remember the game, the Super Bowl game?
I do not. I remember something that just happens after, though. So we're watching the game, and, you know, a lot of times when you have a DVR, if something's set to record, it will switch to that channel. Because, I don't know, you can only have so many channels playing. Like, you can watch one.
That's true. It's like, I think, three or four.
Yeah. So, either way, the channels are being used up, clearly. Because as the game's going on, just sitting there watching it, I have a friend over, too. Boom. The TV just cuts to two women, topless, making out with each other in kind of like a lake area. It's just like greenery all around the lake. And I'm like, oh. And my uncle's like, ha. Had that set to record, my bad. And then just switched it back real quick. But it's just one of those moments that I'll never forget in my life because it was so wild.
That's, man, your friend was like, bro, it was fucking cool, dude. I was at Mike's house. Man, we saw porn. It was awesome.
I mean, by then, we were already in high school, so it was a little, like, demystified, you know? But if that were...
You're 11th grade, you must have been, like, 16, 17.
Yeah, yeah. If it were, you know, if we're talking, if it were middle school, that would have changed lives for sure.
It would have been awesome. Yeah, I would have looked at my uncle like awkwardly and probably avoided him the next family party.
No. I just love to. He kind of handled it with a laugh. You know, I mean, what can you do? You know, it is what it is, but it's just one of those things that just cracked me up.
Does he have his son? Blame it on the kid? I'm sure I got blamed for a lot of shit I did not do. So
there's things that your mom still looks at you like, I can't believe you bought that magazine or did this. Like, it's something you've never seen. It's never crossed your hands, not once.
I'm pretty sure if we're sharing stories, there is a Playboy magazine with China, and somehow someone got it, and I got blamed for it because I like wrestling.
Oh, with but China? No oh, the wrestler?
China the wrestler. Okay. She was on Playboy, and she was topless. It was like the big thing. Everyone was fucking talking about it. It made news. And someone had a hold of it, and they blamed it on me because I like wrestling. And I was like, no, they like boobs. Like, they got it. Mm. How am I going to get it? I'm like 11.
Ooh, I don't know. It sounds like Papa Madman threw some blame on you, brother. I'm sorry, man.
It was all politics.
At the same time, bro, you're only 11. You know, that's like, you take that hit and keep pushing. You know what I mean? Like, that's... Maybe Papa Madman wasn't in a position to take that hit at the moment, you know?
Yeah, he was like 30.
He just looked down, gave you
like eye contact. He must have been like the age I am now. Yeah. It was that kid, bro. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, fuck that. It was that one.
He's like, looked at you like, hey, you're just going to have to tough this one out, bud. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We'll figure it out later, dude. You know those emotional scars? Don't worry about it. We'll be all right. I'm going to give you Bud Light when you're 20.
There you go. Just drown those demons in beer, my friend.
Fuck, dude.
But either way, I'm just surprised. I mean, this movie must be actually like pretty intense and pretty graphic to have Netflix blinking, because everything I've ever read about Netflix is that they're pretty open to anything. But I think there's something about, you know, there's one thing if you have a movie called Nymphomaniac coming out, and it's like, okay, well, they're kind of telling a story already. This movie's about people who like to have sex versus, oh, this is our Marilyn Monroe biopic that happens to like also be one of the most sexually graphic movies ever made, NC-17. Well, that's problematic. You know, you can't, I mean, you can, because if you click on a movie named Nymphomaniac, you can't get mad. If you click on a movie named Blonde because of Marilyn Monroe, you can be a little upset.
Yeah.
A little bit.
That's true. And it's you said it's a biop, right?
The book it's based on does feature some notably dark scenes, and the author herself has praised the film for being a startling and very disturbing adaptation.
Oh, shit. So yeah. The author's seen this.
But yeah, it is a biopic, yeah.
Damn, well, I mean, to be honest, I don't really know much about her life other than, you know, the Kennedy connection and just her being, like, one of the most beautiful people.
Yeah.
Like, in the world. And that's about it, that's as much as I know. So, I mean, shit, maybe there is some dark stories in there that I probably wasn't even prepared about. Now I know more. And like I said, hopefully it's not too dark where I'm over here, you know, defending.
Yeah.
I'm not defending, trying to protect Ana de Armas.
Yeah, and, well, low-key, everything I'm reading about now, I kind of even don't want to watch it.
I'm even more excited about it. Like, I'm just not because I want to see that stuff, just because I know it's going to be, like, kind of a real film and be something that's going to kind of stick with me. And I think good movies should stick with you, and they should be long-lasting. I'm excited to learn more about it. And I'm not going to read about it, so. I'll wait till the movie comes out, hopefully.
Copy that. That sounds very uncharacteristic of the Madman.
Yeah, usually I love just knowing everything about everything. So,
all right, let's hop here to that whole segment was more just like a joke than anything. But it was just, when I read it, I was like, hell yeah.
Makes sense. Ana de Armas is hot as fuck.
Yeah, right?
It's getting shut down because it's too hot. It's like, what the fuck? Yeah, you fucked up. Wasn't that the point?
All right. So next here, we got Spider-Man 3 trailer. This one dropped. It leaked a little bit. Everyone was kind of talking about it. There was the leaked version going around. And then Marvel's like, you know what? We got to put out the good quality one. We can't let people see this leaked, trashy version. We got to show them the real version. So they put it out. And it was a record breaker. It broke the record for the most views in 24 hours with 355.5 million views. The previous holder of that record was Avengers Endgame with 289. So people, I was one of those views as well. I was hyped. Now it said Spider-Man teaser trailer. This was a 3 minute, like 30 second. It was the longest teaser trailer I've ever seen. It pretty much had the whole movie in it. If you're one of the people that does not like to see too much of a movie, you see so much of this movie. And based on how that trailer is, there's no way that this movie isn't going to be like 3 hours long. I feel like it's going to be the longest Marvel movie they've ever made. But man, what are your thoughts on the Spider-Man trailer?
I was stoked for it. I was so excited just to get any fucking information from it, because every TikTok I've been seeing on my For You page is like trying to break down that movie and break down like what's going to happen and break down the trailer, and everyone's just talking about it. So I was just excited just to have it done. And I'm excited to be part of it, similar to how I felt when I watched WandaVision. And I just got so much information about it, so many TikToks, so many tweets, so many theories. And now I'm kind of doing the same with Spider-Man. I did not get that from Falcon and the Winter Soldier series. I did not get that from the Loki series. I'm getting that from this series. I'm excited.
Yeah, everyone seems excited about it. And so this is just a little quick, if you don't know what's going on, if you haven't seen the trailer, definitely watch the trailer because it's pretty cool. But essentially, Tom Holland is exposed as Spider-Man. His character, Peter Parker, is exposed as Spider-Man at the end of the last Spider-Man movie. So the whole world knows who he is. And his life kind of sucks after that. Things aren't going great. So he goes to Doctor Strange, as you do as superheroes. You just go to your homie. He's like, hey, bro, can you help me out? And can you just make the world forget who I am? And Doctor Strange is like, you know what? I got you. I can do things like this. I'm Doctor Strange. And then his buddy's in the back like, hey, bro, don't do it. It's, you know, it's too dangerous. And Doctor Strange is like, no, I got this. He's a good guy. Peter Parker. I like this kid. And then really kind of duality with how Tom Holland is in real life. He kind of ruins this spell by just talking, much how he spoils plot points from Spider-Man movies just by talking on talk shows. You know, in the trailer, he's literally talking. Doctor Strange is like, shut up. And he's like, no, but seriously, I don't know if I want to do this. And Mary Jane's not going to know who I am. And I'm really happy with that. And does everyone have to forget? And however, through Tom Holland just being annoying, they create a multiverse where all sorts of universes are colliding upon each other. And we're getting villains from every other Spider-Man movie. We got confirmed Green Goblin from the very first Spider-Man. Doc Ock. We got Electro, Sandman, Lizard. There's a couple other speculated. There's a couple other that look really close. There was no confirmation in the trailer of Tobey Maguire or Andrew Garfield, but they are rumored to be a part of this as well. Like, there is so much going on, so many implications. And essentially, if you've seen any Spider-Man movie, there's going to be little things to pick out of from watching this new one. It looks insane.
And my favorite thing is that people are speculating that Doctor Strange is not really Doctor Strange, it's Mephisto.
Mm.
And that's why he's so cool, just to do this spell or whatever to remove Spider-Man and who he is, because Mephisto is like a demon. He's like a devil, and he's down to grant a wish, but he's going to take something from you and away the loved ones from Spider-Man. So I'm so happy there's another Mephisto theory, because it's so freaking stupid. It's like so dumb.
There's always
and a I Mephisto just love theory. Like this motherfucker Mephisto. I just hear so much about this guy. I'm excited how people are excited about Mephisto and they think it's him. But no, it's cool, because I just loved, man, like Sony's version of Spider-Man. I love Tobey Maguire, and Doc Ock was arguably like one of the best villains in just superhero movies. And Spider-Man 2, I think it's like the best superhero movie that you can watch.
Okay.
And there's a lot of debates, there's a lot of things, but it's usually on people's rankings. It's usually up there with their superhero films. There's a scene where the Peter Parker that we know now, he's wearing an outfit that's very similar to Tobey Maguire's outfit. And they're like, that's fucking Tobey Maguire. They just changed his face. And I'm happy to have that play through. And if it's not, I'm going to laugh my ass off, because it's like, man, you guys really just try to figure shit out. But with Avengers, I think there was a point where like Captain America's running with people behind him, and then they edited people out. And in the movie, they put him back in.
Because
they would spoil shit. So
makes sense.
If they're doing all that crazy shit, then they're fucking out of control, because they know how crazy fans are.
Yeah.
And I'm just excited to read about it and just hear about it. I just think it's so funny.
But this is one of those things where this is, I think, the last movie that Marvel has their hands in. So
yeah.
Marvel and Sony did like a 3-movie deal. So I don't know if they can still keep using the character, but this is the 3rd Spider-Man movie. So after this one, Sony gets Spider-Man back. And essentially, Sony's been fleshing out, like, Venom. The second movie's coming out. And then there's Mobius coming out early 2022, which is another Spider-Man villain. So Sony, while they haven't had Spider-Man, they're still building the Spider-Man universe with the villains. And they're going to bring it back. And it was cool. It's one of those things that it's kind of crazy that they ever did that deal with Disney and let Marvel have these things. But it's probably not going to happen again. So this is really their last, like, you know, they're going out with a bang. I don't know if Tom Holland's going to continue to be Spider-Man. I don't know what's going on, but it should be very exciting to see. They're really pulling out all the stops. It looks like it's going to be one of those just epic, epic movies. One of those that you just got to see and you got to talk about with everyone. Like you said, it's one of those, it looks like it's going to be a cultural moment, much like Avengers Endgame was.
Yeah, that's very true. I didn't know that about the contract situation, and that makes total sense. That's why it's so big. I'm pretty pumped about it. I'm just excited to see all this news. I'm excited to dive into it, and I'm excited to see that the fans are excited about it, because like you said, I think it's going to be a dope ass just experience.
It seems like a good time to hop into our review here. We got the Candyman. 2021. The synopsis here is a spiritual sequel to the horror film Candyman, 1992, that returns to the now gentrified Chicago neighborhood where the legend began. This is directed by Nia DaCosta, who I haven't seen anything she's done, but she is doing the sequel to Captain Marvel right now. So she's directing that. And this is written by Jordan Peele, Wynn Rosenfeld, Nia DaCosta, Rotten Tomatoes here, we've got an 85% with the critics, 75% with the audience. So pretty high, and only 10 points apart, nothing too crazy. And I loved this before I watched the movie. I just noticed this. The movie's only an hour and a half long, and you gotta love that. You tell your story, get in, and get the fuck out. Like, let us have our lives, you know? So, yeah, we love it. So, yeah.
You leave your movie, you're like, great, awesome, that's all I needed.
Yeah, that's all I needed, yeah.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, no more glaring looks. Like, just
have you been in a situation when you watch a movie, they're like, hey, guys, we're going through some issues, we can start the movie without the trailers. I'm always like, start it up.
Oh yeah, yeah,
like, get
please,
it going,
please do. Well, yeah, so so Candyman, this is they say it's a spiritual sequel. I have not seen the 1992 Candyman. I do wish I had, after reading some comments about it, but it's not a direct sequel. The movie still makes sense without seeing it, but I just, as a disclaimer on my review personally, I have not seen the original. And yeah, other than that, man, what'd you think of Candyman?
Yeah, man. So I'm like lucky and fortunate that I actually had a screener to watch this film. Lights were completely dark. I put myself in the zone because I wanted to get scared because it's a horror film. Mm-hmm. And normally when I watch screeners, I'll have like the lights midway. This time I was like, they're going all the way down.
Okay.
And I got fucking creeped out, bro. It was creepy as fuck. This movie is creepy. It's very creepy. Like, the storytelling of it was also dope. The way they had, because it transitions, right? They have little illustrations. They have little, like, it almost looked like cardboard, like, cutouts.
Yeah. Doing the storytelling.
If you liked. Yeah. But I was like, fuck, yeah. I love sharing scary stories. Mm. Bro, I just love folklore. I love scary shit. I love, like, hey, like, what's the scariest thing that happened to you? And it could be fake as fuck, but you told the story well. And I feel like the movie did that. The movie told the story of Candyman very well in my eyes. I did not remember the movie from 1992. I was born in 1991. I don't know shit about it. I think I've seen some of its sequels, but the movie does a good job kind of retelling the tale and doing it in its own way and making its own movie where it's kind of like a reboot, quasi sequel type shit. Like, it's its own reimagining of it. And I think that played for me. It's more than a horror film. If anything, I want to say it's like a social commentary with horror elements. There's a lot of talk about gentrification. There's a lot of talk about inequality and injustice. And I feel like those are themes that are really being passed around a lot right now. We're seeing so much of it right now, and I think it's good for it to play in a horror movie. I think it does a good job. I feel like it could have been better if Jordan Peele was a little bit more involved in it. Like, the things that they tried to make work would have worked out a little bit better. Not saying that it were completely bad or like a sham. I think it worked well. I just think it could have been a little bit better. I saw what they were trying to do. Didn't ultimately land with me, but overall it was an enjoyable film.
So I don't think it was that scary. I know you're saying like a social commentary mixed with horror. I watched it alone, which is the best way to watch horror movies. Like you were saying.
In your screener?
Yeah. I watched a trailer first. So I watched a trailer for Halloween Kills beforehand, and that trailer scared the shit out of me. Like, it was, what a great trailer. The Halloween Kills trailer was awesome. And that's what was
coming out, right?
I was stressed. I was stressed out. And like I felt like Michael Myers was going to kill me. He was murdered. And, you know, because it wasn't a Red Band trailer, but even the trailers that play in front of R-rated movies, even if they're not full Red Band, they still will allow more because you're watching an R-rated horror movie. That trailer is going to be a little more graphic. And it was scary. I was just stressed. Nothing in Candyman was remotely as scary as the Halloween Kills trailer was. It almost kind of like set a bad tone.
Damn.
Because I was so stressed by that trailer. Yeah. Now, that being said, it's more of a thriller, right? It's more suspenseful. It kind of has those elements, really just thriller. There's definitely like a slasher vibe to it, but I don't think they nailed the horror. And there was zero jump scares either, for the most part. It really was not a lot of that, especially considering that a lot of the movie revolves around like mirrors. Yeah. You know, mirror stuff always freaks me out. But I feel like they really tried to do no jump scares with this, which some people will celebrate, I think, and say, thank God they didn't. But I like a mix of both. You know, I want true suspense, but I also like the cheap, just like, ha, like, oh, gotcha. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I was a little disappointed in that sense. Not saying I'm advocating for jump scares all the time, but they do have their place within a good movie.
There's a specific scene where they're in the restroom. There's a bunch of girls singing, saying his name. And they had a big missed opportunity. That could have been a scary, rememberable scene. And it felt like it just was kind of biffed.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks. The lead in this movie, like his fascination with Candyman, it was cool. And then it just became kind of out of character and comical. And I really did not like it because I really like the lead. I think he's a great actor. I think the cast is great. I think the cast is solid. Like I have no issues with the actors other than the lead, because I feel like he was poorly written. I feel like his character goes in a way that I wish it didn't, because it really became a little bit comical. Like, there's a lot of scenes where he's smiling a lot.
Yeah, it was like they were supposed to be like a creepy smile, but it's just kind of weird.
It's supposed to be a creepy smile. It just looked a little goofy.
Yeah.
Or like corny as fuck, if I can say respectfully. I was like, bro, motherfuckers, corny as fuck. Comey Domingo? Surprising. I fucking loved him. Then I like him at the end. And I just think that's just the movie and the way it was written. Yeah. I feel like there's a connection, obviously, to Candyman 1992. I feel like if Tony Todd was a little bit more involved, it would have been way better and had more of a lasting effect. Not saying he's not, so don't think Tony Todd's not in the movie. I know people were excited that Tony Todd was. He is a guy that his biggest role was Candyman. And people like him for that. And I think that's dope. When it comes to the horror community, they love Tony Todd and they love Candyman. And it is kind of an original movie. And once you get closer to the, you know, second and third act, like end of second, beginning of third, and end of like if you could have just done a little bit more with the story, it could have been better.
Regarding the actors, I feel like this is the first movie I've watched in a long time where I didn't really recognize almost anyone except Coleman Domingo. When he walked up, I was like, oh, thank goodness. My guy Coleman's here.
Somewhere I didn't know he was going to be in it, to be honest.
Yeah, I actually didn't either. And I was stoked to see him. And then I also ended up hating his character. I was like, well, this is whatever. I mean, it's fine.
In my heart, I knew. I was like, I know Dubs is excited that he's in here.
I love him. But then, you know, it's like sometimes you love someone so much, you like expect a little bit more out of them than what you get. And that kind of really... A lot of the movie's kind of, I would say, weak in a lot of ways as far as a horror movie goes. And it seems like what's getting the good reviews here is the social commentary. I mean, and that's kind of it. But when you go in expecting a horror movie and you get like the social commentary thriller, which is right up the Jordan Peele alley. I mean, you know, Get Out, it was such a huge like movie. We talk about cultural moments like Spider-Man 3. Get Out was like a cultural moment. You know, it's a movie that really resonated with a lot of people and had a lot to say. It was also not a horror movie, much more like a thriller. This felt like it should have been more. It's literally like a slasher movie, but not horror somehow. And that's kind of weird. I don't know. I liked what it was saying. I just didn't like the vessel it was in, I guess. I just didn't feel like they blended well or... It does blend well. Like it's the story makes sense as it's going along. It's not like, wow, they're really trying to force this down our throats. I don't know. I just felt like it was kind of weak. And by the time it was over, I was like, okay, so this is getting good reviews for being like socially responsible versus being like a super exciting movie. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you think one of its biggest failures is that it's a little bit too on the nose?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I think...
Okay.
I don't think so. I think its biggest failure is not being scary.
Yeah.
Personally.
Well, because I think the social commentary kind of took over the film. And there are some gruesome scenes. Like, there's some... like, or even with practical effects, there is some stuff that kind of bothered me. But there was a lot of CGI. I didn't think I was going to get that much CGI. There were certain scenes I knew was CGI. And I was like, you could have done this without it. And it would have been better.
Yeah.
But because the CGI was there, it kind of looks a little... off, and because it's off, it's distracting me, and it's not having a lasting effect here.
watching Candyman, I just didn't have that same like stress level. I wasn't on my toes because there's, you know, like you said, brutal murders. Like some guy gets his like Achilles ripped. I was like, oh, that's, which is one of the hardest things to watch ever in a movie. They did it in like Hostel 2, just so stressful. So that's like gruesome. But even in those moments, I wasn't like stressed out. It was just like, oh, well, he's killing him now. Like I see it happen. Like, I don't know. It's almost hard to explain, but it just that fear didn't get me. And to me, that's the biggest problem. The social commentary, I'm cool with it. I like it, actually. And I think it definitely has a place in modern movies. And it's fun to mix genres, you know, and kind of, I mean, that's really, like I said, the Jordan Peele formula. It's like social commentary with the horror and all kind of mix it together. But it just didn't play for this one. Again, I was expecting, if I expected more of like a thriller, like a slasher thriller kind of, I think I might have liked it more. But I wanted a horror movie, and I just didn't get that.
It did buy me in with like the plot, right? Not so much the plot.
But yeah, like, just the intro with the cutouts and like the little puppet show thing.
Yeah, it was also dope. Like the characters, like the lead, him and his girlfriend, they're like artsy people, and they're just trying to make it in this Chicago world. And there was a point in the movie too where the lead is showing his new art piece to his girlfriend, and then she was like unimpressed with it, and then she just explained the art piece and how it just, this is kind of recycled notes, kind of a story that's been told, and it's not really real, and it's not really yours, and it's not that great. And I feel like she was reviewing the whole movie.
Yikes.
And it sucks because I'm sure the point was for it not to be like that, right? I'm sure it was supposed to have the like the opposite effect. But I was like, yeah, I think she was explaining the movie here, unfortunately. And that's what happened. And I was like, well, that kind of sucks. Because she did it for me. And it sucks because I was creeped out. I know you said you weren't scared. I was pretty creeped out. I like the whole, like, you know, like I said, the little cartoons. Well, not cartoons, but like cardboard cutouts and like the retelling of the story and like the creepy shit. I still would not say, you know, Candyman five times in a mirror. Like, still.
Ooh, I will.
Don't. Please. I'll break a fucking window or mirror or whatever I need to. I'll break my laptop in half.
You don't have to do that. Say Candyman, do that. You just gotta pick it up.
I'll fucking, it's already there.
Yeah, shots fired. Really. Your laptop.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah, please send me money, or just send me a sponsored laptop. That'd be great. But
cool. All right.
Yeah. So a lot of things didn't land.
So how do you want to rate this movie? You want to do it with bees or bee stings?
It's going to have to be bees. Preferably not bee stings, because now I'm fucking terrified of bee stings.
Yeah.
I've been stung by a bee before, and I'm happy my skin did not react the way that it did in this movie.
Yeah, seriously.
There is a disease in your head called tryptophobia. I think that's the name of it. And it's when you see a lot of patterns with a lot of holes. And it bothers you. And so I do not want to see any more of that. It bothered the shit out of me in the movie.
Interesting.
So if you have issues with that, please be careful. And also with bright lights and a lot of lights that are just repetitive. I know people get seizures. There's a lot of scenes like that in the movie. So please be careful. Like, honestly.
Are you saying you have tryptophobia?
I think I have tryptophobia, bro. And I know this because I read it on the internet. So
copy. All right, cool. Cool. I hope you find the help you need for that.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have a lot of holes in your skin.
Not that I'm aware. I mean, we all have pores. Yikes.
Yeah, don't get fucking stung by a bee, because that shit will come out.
Oh, I'm never going to get stung, but dude, I'm probably allergic. Now, when I say probably, I don't know, but I've never been stung, and I don't want to find out. Because the only way you find out you're allergic is if you get stung. I never want to know.
Let's go with bee stings. Fuck it. Let's go with bee stings, bro.
All right, let's do it. Okay, so.
You need to give it like zero bee stings.
No. You want to rate it first, or you want me to go?
I'm going to rate it first because I think mine's still going to be higher than yours.
Okay.
I think you might have been a little bit more excited about this movie.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked for sure. Mine's not super low, but it's just not.
Yeah.
It's not super high.
Yeah, mine is kind of lower than I wanted it to go, but I'm going to just. And I hate kind of just like a solid, like, even like on the nose score. I'm not really criticizing it being on the nose, but I'm going to give it like 70 bee stings.
All right.
Okay. I see you smiling. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen with yours. I give it 70s. I mean, I'll give it a 70. There was a lot of things that I did like. I'm not going to get too into it, but it's amazing. The guy that made the score for this movie, because I looked at all the other scores that he did and they're not like this movie.
Mm.
And I just find that so funny in like Hollywood and just in the industry, how you could just pretty much get anyone to do a fucking score. You can get your heavy hitters like Hans Zimmer or fucking whoever, but, I just thought that was a little funny. And plot twist, that guy or girl directed, not that person that scored this movie. Scored a movie that Jeff Probst directed, and I thought that was
funny. Okay.
Yeah, the little deep dive there. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of elements that I liked. I just don't think it landed on, and I feel like they should have dived into it a little bit more. So I'll give it a 70. My 3-word review is going to be "Don't summon shit." Just okay. Don't like that. Like, yeah, okay, it might be kind of cool to like say Candyman and murder 5 times. If you're not ready to awaken something, just don't. But trust me, people are looking for you. People are praying for your downfall. If you're letting yourself be open to that dark world, then you will get fucking murdered.
Yikes.
Or fucking get hooked in the neck. So okay. Please don't. Okay. Please don't do that for me and my own sake.
Fair enough.
And if I come at you with some shit like that, please fucking believe me, because that shit's true. It's out there. Watch this movie. Like, it's real.
Yeah, it's real, dude. So, it's like a documentary.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
All right. So I like that. So I smiled because my score is also going to be a 70 bee stings out of 100.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah. I'm not going to change it.
Let's fucking go. I was so nervous for your score, bro. I really was. But it just felt right, right?
Yeah. No, it's weird because it's... You know, part of my review and the way I'm talking about it is because I was excited and I didn't get what I was hoping for. Yeah. But I don't hate what I got. It's just not not exactly what I wanted. But I think 70 bee stings out of 100 is fair. And I think overall the movie was, I mean, it was well plotted. It was good, and bless it for being an hour and a half. It, like I said, told story, got out. You gotta love those things. My 3-word review, I actually have two. So my first 3-word review is just going to be Candyman, Candyman, Candyman. Can't say anymore. So that's
Say it.
Yeah. So that's one. My second 3-word review is going to be see a doctor, because my man, you know, he gets stung by the bee, and then, you know, he essentially starts turning into a beehive. Just see a doctor. So if you get stung by a bee and you start turning into a beehive, you know, looking like honeycomb cereal, do something about it. You got to figure that out.
I would never buy honeycomb cereal again.
Because now that you know you are tryptophobic, you can't.
I cannot.
And that's just
If you make me some food, don't put a shit ton of holes in
it. There better not be any holes in it. All right.
That fucking sucks.
Well, all right. Well, I think that that wraps up our episode today on Candyman and other things. Thank you all for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Peace. Hey, guys, that sounded great. Can we get everyone to reset? All right. Take 2.